Well, it goes back to the year 1968, song called Grazing in the Grass. And that was done by Hugh Masekela. A very interesting story about Hugh Masekela. He was the son of a South African sculptor, and he took up trumpeting at the age of 13. You know how he did that? He saw the movie Kirk Douglas acted in called Young Man with a Horn. Now, Hugh became a veteran of various Johannesburg jazz groups, including one with pianist Dollar Brand. Masekela earned a scholarship to the Royal Academy of Music in London that allowed him to escape apartheid. And he went to the Manhattan School of Music, where Harry Belafonte found him and began promoting his career in the mid-1960s. He was married to folk singer Miriam Mabeka, and she was a fellow South African expatriate. And running his own production company in L.A., Masekela's jazz group fusion Grazing in the Grass sold 4 million copies worldwide. I like that song, Grazing in the Grass. Aloha kaka hiaka kako, everybody. Good morning. Welcome to our program. I'm Dr. Paul Kamanu, and as we launch out into a brand new year, we have a number of things we'd love to share with you. Joining me in studio today is the beautiful Sabrina Franks. Aloha, Sabrina.
Aloha, Dr. Kamanu.
Good day for us today to declare several things. The president was over in the Middle East and gave his 3 cents, which he should have kept to himself. And anyhow, I want to talk about that on today's broadcast and some other stuff.
It's great to be once again on the air to share with you things that are happening in the world, current events. Also, we want to take you to the Word of God and share with you how these things relate to the Word of God and prophetically what these things mean from the Word of God.
You know, Bush professes to be a believer in the Lord, yet what he does goes totally contrary to the Word of God. And so we'd like to look at that and kind of lay some things out. Those of you listening to us today, you may not recognize, realize, or understand the ramifications of toying around with Israel, but there are very, very great, great things that happens to nations that has happened to them. Many empires have folded, they ceased, they're non-existent, all because of what they have sought to do against Israel. And so, we want to just remind people, you know, mind your own business. That's what should be told. You know, the president goes there and then he tells Israel, you're occupying this land. I mean, the first thing you need to do is do history.
Yes.
Go read history. And even the president said, well, whatever happened after the war of 67, that's we want you to return those lands. Well, that's tantamount to 1893 when the war came against there to shut down the queen and take the property from us, the Hawaiian Islands. I mean, why doesn't he do that? You know, and I'm just freely speaking here because I'm a thinker, and I know history, and we go back and look at history, and we find out, well, you're in a heap of trouble.
And it doesn't make sense to just go back to a certain year. I mean, why don't we just throw away all our history books, you know? I mean, they would like to throw away all the history books and how America was founded, the United States, but... they want to just take away all these things from go up to a certain point. Who and what gives you the right to just ignore years of past history, past heritage of a nation?
Well, if you were to do it to his family, would he like it?
Exactly.
You know, and that's the thing we want to really look at. You know, go back to his grandfather and look at his father. You know, his father is George Herbert Walker Bush. Herbert Walker was the father-in-law to Sheldon Prescott Bush. Sheldon Prescott Bush was President Bush's grandfather. His father-in-law was Herbert Walker, and George Herbert Walker Bush, the first Bush to become president, is named after his granddaddy. And so when you look at their heritage, they got a heritage. You know, they're not from Texas. They're from up in Maine. They're up from Kennebunkport, Maine. And so when you look at things, they try to push themselves over as people that they're not. And nobody's trying to take away their heritage. Mm-hmm. But they go around the world and try to tell these people, you know, you need to give up this, you need to give up. But we're only looking up according to these 13 years.
Right,
that's wrong.
Right.
You got to look into this entirety, the entirety of it all. It's like the Temple Mount area. And, you know, we said this on television on our program, Discovering Truth. That's seen on Olelo on Thursday nights at 8 o'clock, Channel 53. But we speak about this because it's very, very important. If you don't know history, you don't understand things, then the first thing you need to do, especially going to be a world leader, go check history.
Yes.
The Bible tells us that there were kings who didn't know the past. And so they said to their people who worked for them, go check the past and see what we have not done. Mm-hmm. Were there laws that we're supposed to be keeping? And if we haven't, then we obviously need to bring some kind of reformation here. And so they did that so that they could come out of this, you know, this quagmire that they were in. Well, what you see that has happened with past presidents, you know, from Carter and from who's the next one? Reagan kind of stayed cleared of it. But if you look at Clinton and then the two Bushes, what they try to do is they're basically trying to just usurp authority and strip mine Israel from their God-given inheritance.
Well, and that's the thing. I mean, and you mentioned kings that in the past who said, go look back at the past, but there are other kings that have looked and said, well, we don't care about the past. We're going to go from now and we're going to make changes. And I don't know what happened in the past. I wasn't there and I don't really care. But what I see right now doesn't look good, so I'm going to change it. And so that's what we see kings that have looked to the past and have benefited from it. And kings have looked to the past and said, you know what? I don't really care and I'm going to go forward and make changes.
Yeah, sometimes those changes are good, but if you now you need to go back and look, right? Okay, let's say your dad left an inheritance for you and
yes,
your siblings,
yes.
Right? Now somebody comes along and says, "Well, I don't care what he said. I want that property.
Mm-hmm.
I want
mm-hmm.
you know." Let's say some people came in and because you guys all got your own houses and stuff, and basically just left your dad's house alone. Well, somebody moves in because nobody's there.
Mm-hmm.
They move in. They encroach, if you
mm-hmm,
will.
Mm-hmm.
And now they're living there. And now you go back to take the place. Oh, this is our place. We've been here. Well, you
right.
know, I raised my three kids here in this house.
Right.
Well, okay, you might have raised your kids here, but this is not your
not
place.
Yours.
This is our place. This is what Bush is doing to the people of Israel.
Yeah.
The Palestinians are saying that, well, you know, we raised our family here. We've been here for thousands of years. Bogus. That's bogus.
It's still not yours.
You know, it's really funny. On this recent trip when Bush went, he didn't want to meet with Bibi Netanyahu. Netanyahu is going to be the next prime minister of Israel. And he was a prime minister years ago. But Bush didn't want to meet with him at all. So Netanyahu went to the airport when Bush arrived. And so Bush looks at him and says, well, are we still on for a meeting? Let's do coffee tomorrow. So what happens was the next day Netanyahu meets with him. And the meeting goes 45 minutes longer than Bush expected the meeting to go. But Netanyahu gives him a gift. He says, here, I want to give you this. And Bush accepted this gift from Bibi Netanyahu, and it was a coin that was found on the Temple Mount that dates back. He says, look, see the inscription? My people were here for over 2,000 years.
Yes.
Now, what could Bush say? Bush, the next day, goes on to tell the Palestinians, don't worry about it. He says, I don't want you to live like you're living in a Swiss cheese country.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, you know, you got all these different lands like holes.
Pockets,
he says, but
yeah.
We're going to make it all one. The Jew says, well, and this is what Netanyahu told him over coffee. He says, we are united, sir. You will never take Jerusalem from us. Never. You will never divide it. Now, Bush wasn't happy, but Netanyahu told him, this is our inheritance, and you're not going to do this. He said, do you know what? Now, Netanyahu is really not a believer,
mm-hmm.
but he said, the Christians understand this. There are two Jerusalems. Netanyahu told him. He says, there are two Jerusalems. There's a natural Jerusalem that's here now, and there's a Jerusalem in the heaven that's coming. He says, we are the people God gave Jerusalem to.
Hmm.
Bush couldn't say nothing but order another cup of coffee. I mean, see, this now Netanyahu is trying to school him. He said, man, you're in Israel now.
Yes.
I'm going to teach you these things. Bush
yes.
was not willing to learn. So he decided to go off and do his own stuff, met with Abbas over there in Mahmoud Abbas over in Ramallah, you know, and they laughed and then they had fun and stuff, you know. And then he goes to the Church of the Nativity over in Bethlehem, and then Bush makes another statement. He says, you know, this is just wrong how the Palestinians are being held down here in your own land. Now, we got a Palestinian brother who's a pastor over there in Bethlehem, and he says, thank God for the Israelis. This is their land. He said, I'm a Palestinian. I'm telling you right now, this is their land. We are here on their land. Bush don't talk to people like that,
mm-hmm.
see? So we need to look. Now, where's our foundation? We come right back here to the book of Genesis. Genesis means beginnings. And so the progenitor of the Jewish people is a man named Abraham. And God made a covenant with him in the 15th chapter of the book of Genesis. If you got your Bible, you can join us today. The Bible says, after these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abraham in a vision, saying, don't fear, Abraham, I'm your shield and your exceeding great reward. Abraham said, Lord God, what will you give me, seeing that I have no children? Abraham says, behold, to me you have given no seed. One born in my house is mine heir. Do I look at my servant here, Eliezer, and is that going to be my seed? And the word of the Lord said to him, no, this shall not be your heir, but he shall come forth out of your own bowels shall be your heir. And God brought him forth and says, look now toward heaven, and can you number the stars? So shall your seed be. Remember now, this is a guy without any children. And the Bible says, verse 6, and he believed in the Lord, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Now, the word righteousness right there, that it counted him for righteousness, Serena, what it really means is that's right standing with God.
Yes.
Right standing with God. And he believed in the Lord. Talking about Abraham, believed in the Lord. And God began to systematically tell him, all this land I'll give to you. Listen, check it out. The Bible says, verse 18, in the same day God made a covenant with Abraham, saying, unto your children have I given this land from the river of Egypt, that's the Nile, unto the great river, the river Euphrates. That's the river that runs from Turkey through Iraq.
Mm-hmm.
The Kenites, the Kenizzites, the Kadmonites, Hittites, Perizzites, Rephaims, Amorites, Canaanites, Girgashites, and Jebusites. The Jebusites were the people who opened up a city called Jerusalem. Mm-hmm. God says, I've given that to you. And all of these things belong rightfully according to God's word. Now, the Bible says in Psalm 24, verse number 1, something that's so significant that Mr. Bush should read it along with everybody else who thinks of just, you know, delving up land and cutting the land up and giving it over to whoever they feel is who needs it. But look what it says in the 24th division of Psalm, verse 1.
The earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein.
All right, case closed. The earth is whose?
The Lord's.
Yeah, so that means God owns it.
That's right.
And then we have, if God says, I'm going to give you this land, no, it doesn't matter who lived on it before. If God says, this is the land I'm giving to you, then it's your land.
Yes.
And that's what God, he cut a covenant. He made a covenant with Abram, and he says, this is the land for you, your children, and your children's children forever. This is what I've given to you. Mr. Bush, the Brits, and nobody else, the Russians, the Arabs, nobody has a right to tamper with God's property. And this is what's not being told. So as a preacher of the gospel, as someone who teaches history, I'm telling you the truth of the matter is you don't fight with God. Your hands are too short. God says, I'm going to knock you out.
Mm-hmm.
And great empires from the past are nothing but the past because they all sought to take Jerusalem.
And he's going against the very word of God. And that's what he needs to realize and come to the understanding of. And that's what I believe Netanyahu was trying to tell him. This is God's word that is saying this. God has given this to us as an inheritance, as our heritage, for us to pass on generation after generation. You're going against the very word of God. And this is detrimental to him and in turn to the United States.
Well, it was really interesting because I have several friends who have written books. One is called The Final Hour. His name is Howard Pittman.
Yes.
And America, You're Too Young to Die. That's by my other friend, Sherlock Bally. Both in these two men, both in their books, they have documented
mm-hmm.
the strange weather patterns that has happened in America every time a president, a U.S. president, has sought to divide up the land of Israel.
Yes.
Very interesting, Sabrina. When the president got on board Air Force One and was heading out towards Israel to divide this land, during the season where you don't have tornadoes,
mm-hmm.
it dropped.
Mm-hmm.
It nailed Arkansas. It whooped up in a couple of states. This is not the time for tornadoes.
No.
But it hit. And then the other things that's happening with the frost down in Miami. I was kidding with my friend the other day. I said, hey, you saw what's happening in Miami? He says, man, 10-degree weather. I said, yeah, God gave him frozen orange juice on the plant.
Uh-huh.
I said, look, I mean, they took pictures of this. They said, look, the oranges are freezing. Hmm. Strange weather patterns. Why is this happening? It's not El Nino.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking about El Gato.
That's right.
God himself.
Yes. Yeah,
we better understand what's going on here. That God says, you're tampering with my land. Mm-hmm. He's asking who you are.
That's right.
Whoever touches Israel, God says, touches the apple of my eye. Now, you know what? I don't know. I think we better start opening up our understanding and come back to this realization. God set up some good stuff, and everything in his eyes is good.
Everything good, everything right, everything holy, everything right, everything worthy, all that I should. And all is well, 'cause I'm gonna dwell on everything good. I got a choice.
Gaither Vocal Band, title cut from that album, Everything Good. Big finish there.
All right. You know that scripture, Dr. Kamanu. It comes from Philippians 4, verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things.
So he's telling us what we need to think on, huh?
Yes, everything good.
Wow, I like that song. I watch you dance around the studio here.
Oh, come on now.
And of course, well, you were bopping. Come on, we're doing that because we like to play music with a message.
Yes,
and indeed we're doing it this morning. We're talking about Israel, and how dividing Israel seems to be the big subject for many, many people today, yet they don't realize the true ramifications that one will encounter if you seek to divide that which God says, I've made united. You know, the Bible tells us, the Lord Jesus says, any nation, you know, that's divided cannot stand. And so here, the powers that be, because this has been going on for years, mm-hmm. because there are men who believe how the world should be shaped. you know, they want to cut the world up into what we call 10 different regions.
Yes.
And we shared that on our television program, but I'm going to do a program and share it here on the radio. But Israel, we're talking about Israel and how they want to divide Israel. Why would you want to divide Israel? I mean, hello, get a map. All you got to do is go look at a map. You know, we have this world map that we have in our offices. And I told one of our workers the other day, I said, can you find Israel? And so, you know, she looked up there and she says, no, I said, you've been there 5 times. I can find Israel. And she kept looking. I said, remember, it's by the Mediterranean. She's like, no, I know. And she kept looking. She says, I really can't see it too good. I said, that's my point.
Exactly.
I mean, if you were to look at Saudi Arabia, Iraq, Iran, if you were to look at Jordan, if you look at Lebanon, look at Syria, you can Egypt, you can see Libya, you can see them clear. But you gotta really squint to find Israel.
Yes.
And yet they're telling Israel, you got too much land, you have to give it up. So the Transjordan is the area called Jordan today. They got 77% of the land. The 23% is what the Jewish people have called Israel. At one time, all of that was Israel, but the Brits divided them. This is history. Mm-hmm. So, and the Brits divided them. And so because the Balfour Declaration said, we're gonna give the Jews this land.
Yes.
Well, it wasn't theirs to give. It was God who gave it to the Jewish people. Anyhow, right. Be that as it may. So now they got 77% of the land they give to the Hashemite kingdom of the Jordanians. And then the Jews got 23%. Then they said, of the 23%, you got too much land. So what we're looking at here, Sabrina, is as far as land size, the Jews have 34,000 square miles of land. 34,000 square miles of land. Now, that's a lot of land, huh? Surrounded by 18 Arab nations. That's a lot of land, they're saying. 34,000 square miles, that's a lot of land. You can afford to give up some, they're saying, to the Palestinians, to the Jews. Give up to the Palestinians because, you know, they were here before you folks came out in 1948, as if Israel began in 1948.
Mm-hmm.
Israel goes back to Abram, and that's going back almost 4,000 years. And so now they're saying to Israel, well, you got 34,000 square miles of land, so I want you to give it up. But what they're not saying is that the Arab nation has over 4 million square miles of land.
You know, I had to chuckle just a little while you're sharing that. Is I wonder if President Bush has a map. I mean, if he can actually visually see what he's asking the nation of Israel to do, to give up this little speck of, if you look on a world map, this little speck of land called Israel to this nation surrounding it. You can't even see Israel on this map.
Well, we know he's placating to the Saudis. Tell the truth. He's placating to the Saudis. I mean, he's trying to do everything he can to impress the kings and the princes and all the people there. That's not their land. I mean, I'm telling you the truth right now. This is a fight. I mean, this is a fight. God's going to be the undisputed winner here.
Exactly.
God, listen to me. God will knock America out. America is nothing. Egypt was nothing. God sent two old men with one stick and destroyed Israel, Egypt. Every time a nation rose up against Israel, history clearly shows this.
Mm-hmm.
Dad, go to the library and get history books.
Yes.
Every single nation.
And those who fail to remember the past are condemned to repeat it.
George Santayana said that. Hey, here's another thing too, Sabrina, that's worthy of our talking, that the Jewish people, because they transgressed against God, God said through their prophets, we're going to send you into captivity for 70 years. And God drove them into Babylon.
Yes.
And so they were in captivity. In essence, they were driven out of their land for 70 years. But go back. God says, I'm going to give you your land back. Go back. See, and then there came another time that they were scattered abroad, and they've been scattered abroad for almost 2,000 years. But in 1948, we see the aligning of the nation of Israel again. Now, in that time, the Quran came out. Mm-hmm. In that time, the Muslim faith came out. And so I'm going to let you know this. Not once. Listen to me now.
Yes.
Not once is Jerusalem mentioned in the Quran. Not once. And yet they say that's their third most holy site. It's not even mentioned. Mecca and Medina is mentioned. The Quran does not mention Jerusalem. You know how many times the Bible mentions Jerusalem in the Old and New Testament? Now, something is definitely wrong. And all you got to do is go and get a Bible. Go and get a map and look at it for yourself. Go check history. Google something.
Yes.
I mean, we live in a modern time where we can get all this information. It's right there. And if anybody can get information, it's a president. But the powers that be that's behind this does not want to see the Jews succeed. And I'm watching something and I'm frightened from the fact that this God's going to knock America out. All because leadership is doing what they ought not to be doing. Now, what can I base this on? History.
Yes.
History.
And we need to be aware of history and understand what's going on, because a lot of people think, oh, that was in the past, it doesn't pertain to me. And because even in school, as I was going through my education, high school, even college, you don't really put an emphasis on learning what history is, learning what it means, how it pertains to the present. It's just, oh, I got to learn this because I have to get a grade. No, history is very significant in the world that we live in the present and how it relates to our future. So it's very important that we are aware of it and we understand what's happened in the past so we don't repeat it, and learn from the past so we can better our future.
And so today, as we share this, I mean, we want to be insightful. It's the year 2008. We want to make sure that we're sharing up-to-date information. And I'm going to tell you something right now. According to the Word of God, anybody who seeks to divide Israel will be dealt with not by a subcommittee, not by some group of men, God himself.
And it goes on the other way also, that whoever blesses Israel, God will bless. You know, so there's a choice that we have here. We can either bless Israel and God's chosen people, or we can have them give up their lands, give up their inheritance, you know, and go against the very word of God and be cursed.
I want to share something with you. If you look at the map, Indonesia is thousands of miles away from Israel.
Yes.
Indonesia is the largest Muslim nation in the world. Indonesia. Okay?
Okay.
Israel has done nothing to Indonesia, yet they're calling for the annihilation of Israel. What did Israel do to Indonesia?
Mm-hmm.
You go to Abu Saya, the people, the Muslims who are over in the Philippines.
Yes.
They're calling for the destruction of Israel. And the Jews never did nothing to the Filipinos. It's about a religion. That's what it comes down to. Because this thing comes down between the Bible and the Quran. This is what it comes down to. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, or the God of Ishmael and Muhammad.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it comes down to. And the bottom line is, there's a lot of people on that side saying, that's our land. Well, we say, prove it. Prove it.
Yes.
Prove it. The Bible predates the Quran. Prove your point. Prove it. And this is what the world needs to look at. This is how the world needs to, you know, a lot of our politicians have gone over to Israel and they've come back with a different insight. They're like, I didn't realize Israel was that small. Because as long as they keep listening to the rhetoric and the propaganda, they're going to think that Israel is this mighty, mighty nation oppressing people.
Yeah.
When you finally come to find out truth.
Well, the thing that that amazes me is that Israel is not out there trying to pick a fight with the world, even with the Arab nations. It's the nations that are coming against them, so they're trying to defend themselves. They're on the defensive, and all these other places are on the offensive, trying to attack. But all they're trying to do is protect what's theirs and protect their inheritance.
Very good observation. While the president was over in Israel, in the Gaza Strip, which he wouldn't go and visit.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Because they're lobbing Katusha rockets out of the Gaza Strip and hitting Israel,
mm-hmm.
hitting it while the president was there.
Mm-hmm.
But he didn't say nothing about it. And there was no Jewish rockets going into the Gaza Strip.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the Jews defended themselves. And
right.
Like you said, they've always fought a defensive war.
Yes.
Defensive war.
Yes.
If this was back in the days of David,
yes.
King David.
Uh-huh.
So if we go back like 20, almost 3,000 years ago, if you did that, guess what? Israel would be whooping everybody's behind.
Oh, yes.
Everybody would be whooped. I mean, he'd say, you want to fight? The Bible says David would go all the way to Iraq. He would wipe them out.
So why don't they do that now?
Because the Jewish nation is being told by the president and the United Nations, use restraint, use restraint. When it was Operation Desert Storm, when George Herbert Walker Bush was president, and Saddam began to lob his Scud missiles into Israel, America said to them, use restraint,
use restraint. Hey, listen, if another nation was attacking us, America wouldn't use restraint. Uh-huh. We'd retaliate. Mm-hmm. But we told the Jews, use restraint. Do not retaliate. Do not retaliate. And the Jews says, listen.
And who gives us the right? Who gives the United States, America, the right to go and tell another nation how they can defend themselves and what they need to do to keep their land?
And another thing that needs to be really clearly understood is there's something called the spoils of war.
Yes.
If you go to war and you whoop a nation, you whoop a place, and you say, well, you know what? We own this land now.
Right.
The Jews whooped these nations.
Yes.
They whooped Egypt in the Six-Day War. Whooped them nastily. I mean, whoop them. And America said, give back the Sinai Peninsula. Mm. Israel said, we took this fair and square. They attacked us. Mm-hmm. They advanced in our area. We took their place.
Mm-hmm.
America says, give it back. Israel gave it back. Then in 73, they're attacked by the Syrians with more tanks than Hitler had.
Mm-hmm.
The Jews wiped them out. It's called the Yom Kippur War. It's in history.
Yes.
They wiped them out. So they end up taking the Golan Heights.
Mm-hmm.
This is their defense. This is what the president is saying. Give it back. Give it back. Give it back. See, something is definitely wrong
definitely
here.
Wrong.
Because if that was truth, that you know what, okay, you took it in a war, return it, then how much land does America have to return? Have to return? That we ought not to be in Guantanamo Bay over in Cuba. Give that back. Give that back. They ought not to be in Hawaii. Give that back. Give American Samoa back to the Samoans. Give that back.
Mm.
Give Guam back to the Guamanians. Okinawa back to the Okinawans. Give it back. But they don't want to do it. It's so hypocritical. And this is why this caused great, great debates. And I'm glad we can come on the radio and talk about this.
Yes.
Because somebody got to give the other side. Yeah, point, counterpoint.
Yes.
Somebody needs to give the counterpoint.
Yes.
And that's what we're doing with this. Because it's very, very important. God's going to hold you, me, and everybody else who's a preacher responsible for not speaking on behalf of Israel and his word.
And we need to be prepared. Be prepared because this is going to happen and we need to have... The only thing holding back the wrath of God right now are the prayers of the saints. I mean, the thing that we can actually...
Get back to the word righteous. Remember, the Bible said
righteous.
Abraham believed God.
Yes.
And it was accounted to him as righteousness.
Yes.
It is the righteous people. So we say, right? The life of the land is perpetuated in the what?
The righteousness. Righteousness.
But of who? Of we?
Yes,
the Bible tells us in Isaiah, our righteousness is like
filthy rags.
But the righteousness we're talking about is that of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yes.
He is the Prince of Peace. You know, wherever you find nations who wholeheartedly serve him, you find peace. Check the whole world out. There's not one nation.
Mm-hmm.
There is not one nation where you have peace. Why? Because they don't wholeheartedly serve after him. Happy are the people whose God is the Lord. Now, the world considers America to be a Christian nation. But in reality, when we look at America, we know we're not doing the Christian things.
Mm-hmm.
You know, my friend just gave me a report from down in Tanzania. And he was sharing how the Tanzanian Africans really believed that Israel was all serving God.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, oh, no, they're not. What? But the Bible says, yeah, but, you know, you're in Africa. You just don't understand.
Yes.
They're not. Really?
Yes.
See, people think like that until somebody schools them.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one of the things we do on our program. We try to school people and let them know truth.
And, you know, right now, our nation is on the brink of making very critical decisions for the future of our nation. We're looking at electing a new president in the coming year. And what kind of president are we going to be electing? We need to look at who is going to be the best person to go forward in the America to benefit the nation of Israel as well, not just only ourselves, but we need to choose a person that is going to do what is best for America.
You better not be voting on gender. You better not be voting because your wallet. You better vote because the truth is we need someone with integrity.
Yes.
That will do something right. Not somebody who can manipulate.
Mm-hmm.
And start using, sympathetic lines or emotions. You know, you ought not to do
charisma.
That. You got to be able to look at somebody, investigate them.
Yes.
See whether or not the things they say are true. And then you'll know beyond the shadow of a doubt if you're telling the truth, if you're abiding by the truth, and if you've done that which was right.
Oh,
My friends, called Haula. Tavin Makia, Wayne Kamaki'i Aina, Mike Santos, classmates at Kahuku High School.
Not bad, eh, fool?
Guys from the North Shore. We continue with the best of music on a Sunday Kakahiaka. Something from a group called Mauna Loa. And I know it's going to really, really make you feel good on this Sunday. Hope you're having a good day today. Aloha. Thank you.
song is entitled Ku'u
Lehua.
All right.
That's nice, from Mauna Loa. Oh, that's nahi nahi music, eh? Good music, good music. Hey, we're talking about Israel today, and the fact that George W. is trying to divide them up along with many other presidents, and how, you know, he's kind of going into places where he ought not to go. And I'll back this up with the word of the Lord. The Bible says in the book of Ezekiel, chapter 36, verse number 5, check this out. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, surely in the fire of my jealousy have I spoken against the residue of the heathen. Heathens are all those who don't believe in God. And against all Edomia. This is a specific land there where King Herod came from. Listen, which have appointed my land into their possession with the joy of all their heart, with despiteful minds to cast it out for a prey. He says, listen, people try to do this before and they're still trying to do this. They're trying to divide. This is what God says, my land. Psalm 24, we said, the Bible declares the earth is the Lord's, the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. And then we come upon this other scripture verse in the preceding chapter, chapter 35, verse number 9 and 10. Listen to what it says here. I will make thee perpetual desolations, and thy city shall not return, and you shall know that I am the Lord. Now watch. Because you have said, these two nations and these two countries shall be mine, and we will possess it, whereas the Lord was there. Now, two nations, that's what they're trying to create. They want to create a Palestinian nation on the same land that God gave to Israel. This is what Bush said. We don't want this to be a Swiss cheese nation. So they need to have the West Bank. They need to have all these lands. And yet he's diametrically opposed to what God has established in his words. Let me tell you something. Presidents come and go. The Bible says in Daniel chapter 2, around verse 21, God says, I will put people in as presidents and take them out. And if they don't do my will, they will pay a heavy fine. And yet we find these scripture verses and many others that tells us we're out of order. We are out of order. Now, what concerns me, this is the leader of the nation that I'm a citizen of.
Yes.
And when the leaders make mistakes like these, the whole nation gets cracked. So when we begin to see people getting their houses flooded or fires burning out of control and all these things happen, and we call that, insurance companies call that what?
Act of God.
Okay, if that's an act of God, what did we do to provoke God to act? These are the things that we need to ask, questions we need to ask. And so anyhow, today I was looking at this and I'm thinking, wow, God says that's my land and we're trying to divide. How can you take away God's land? You can't do this. Man-made laws will all end. God's law supersedes the laws of men.
Yes.
And when you look at this, then you understand, we think we can play God. We think we can just put people in there and you live there now. We want you to live there. No. You can't do it like that, because God will not allow that to happen. God says, no, you're not going to get away with that, because I've made a promise. I've given a promise to my people. And when my people begin to see that the promise I have given them works, it's really true, then and only then can they recognize and realize that I am a sovereign God. I am the sovereign God. That's for people to understand. I know it already. He's a sovereign God.
Yes,
you know it.
Yes.
He's a sovereign God. And God gives promises because he loves us. The Bible says in John, the first epistle of John, God is love. And yet we're going to see the wrath of God because we have really pushed the love of God. God has unconditional love. But if you begin tampering with that which he says, back off from, like the Lord says, you cannot add or take away from anything in my Bible.
Well, you know, God's word is established, and we need to get God's established word in us. You know, we cannot change or deviate from the word of God. It's already established. It's God's word. And we need to get this word of God established in us.
Trouble!
Kalai, song called Promises of God's Love. And trust you enjoyed that today. Hey, listen, we're having a good time today on our program. You know, we're sharing about Israel and how we need to be very, very careful as to not intrude in an area where we simply don't belong. And we've shared from the Holy Writ, God's Word, the importance of understanding when God says it belongs to him, he's not playing around. That's his place. And if we go and encroach and go in there and if we think we can cause that which belongs to God to be given to somebody else because they're our friends, we're in a heap of trouble, my friend. We need to come to a realization that you can't afford to do that and expect to really make it in life. Now, once again, I point you back to the libraries that's in your community. And all you have to do is go and look up the nation of Israel. All you have to do is look at the world map and you'll find out Israel has always been on the map, unless you find a map that's being printed in the Middle East where they don't have Israel on it and it's all Palestine. Now, when you discover truth, you'll find out. Doesn't matter who seeks to reprint the map, the original is always with God. And God's got it. It's like the Hawaiian Islands. It was God who gave it to us. America has no right to usurp authority. And God's going to come calling on America soon and very soon. And that's going to happen to the nations of the world, particularly when it comes to the nation of Israel. Hence, we say we have a Jewish governor. We need to support her and say, listen, how can we work together and help Israel? Because that's the bottom line right there. I tell our Kanaka Maoli, it's really not about us, everybody. It is about Israel and God's plan. If we work along with God's plan, we will be blessed. Whoever blesses Israel shall be blessed. Whoever curses Israel shall be cursed. Learn fast. Let us bless Israel.
I want you to give us a call if you have any questions or you desire to get this message in its entirety. The number you can call is 234-0231. Once again, 234-0231.
Either way, there's the area code. If you'd like to call and you're out of our state, here's our toll-free number.
1-888-301-4426.
That number again?
1-888-301-4426.
I want to remind you about something, my friend. God loves you. He doesn't hate you. God's for you. He's not against you. And we often tell people this, and we want to remind you about this very important point, very important point, very important point.
You don't have to take what the devil has to offer.
Have a great day in the Lord Jesus Christ. Till next week, aloha.